It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm East Pound, just like old Bandit Run.
Yeah, welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet. And some of our other sponsors are Alabama Pipe and Supply, Atmore Dragway, SMR Automotive, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
And this is not another Auburn sports show.
Yeah, we're not talking about Auburn.
This is not another Auburn sports show. Hoorah.
Yeah, we could do an Alabama show, maybe.
Well, yeah, a little roll time.
I mean, don't you have to do equal time thing?
Kevin, I heard a rumor that the new cars at UJ that you all sell, all the push buttons on the radios are tuned to Alabama broadcast.
Well, we do that right off. You know, go ahead and set them up properly.
That's automatic.
Is that an optional?
They roll off of that trailer out there, and one of the guys hits the door.
It's not optional. We go ahead and do it. I mean, we don't ask.
When you buy it, you do have the prerogative of changing it.
And then, right. Knowing how you feel about owner's manuals, you have to go in there to figure out how to reprogram your radio.
Yeah, you know, it's if you don't have your owner's manual, then you won't know how to take those stations off there. So, mm-hmm. You know, you have to listen to what we put on there for you. So
I see.
Hey.
It works.
There you go.
But trying to get our computer pulled up here this evening.
Good luck on that.
Yeah, well, we're a little shorter on time tonight with a show right ahead of us, but that's okay. It's all good.
Ain't done both things. I know there's a bunch of people out there that's got some cars that need repairs, and they're having some problems. They need to call in, talk to the doctor, and see if they can get an aspirin for
them. And we just happen to have lines available.
Kevin's got a handful of Tylenol here for you.
Exactly. But if you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text to 343-0106. We're here to answer any of your car care questions. And, hey, unless you want to hear Tom and I talk, give us a call.
Yeah, they hear us. They've been listening to me 36 years or so.
Yeah, I was trying to tell someone the other day how long I've been doing it, and I'm trying to figure.
You're getting close to 20.
Yeah, it's getting close to 20 years now.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So well, that's makes you and I go back that far, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, how about a 2017 3500 Duramax diesel? Setting the code in it for the turbos under boost and clogged. And clogged exhaust filter.
Yeah, and
it's got an exhaust filter.
Well, it's got the diesel exhaust particulate filter. Basically, what it's doing is it's catching the smoke that's coming out the tailpipe.
Okay.
You know, a diesel's going to smoke. It has to make power.
Right.
Okay. They don't want to. They don't want you smoking the environment up anymore. So. You know, what they do is they put an exhaust filter in there, and it captures all that soot coming out. And once it gets to a certain level, they burn it all out. They do a regen, what they call it.
Okay.
And it has to monitor it and find out, you know, what level it is. So they have to burn it all out. But what was happening with this one is it kind of reiterates why maintenance is very important on these things. The air filter was stopped up.
Really?
Yeah. And what it was doing, you know, of course, turbo to make boost, it has to get air in,
right?
For one, and then it has to, you know, be able to pressurize and build boost going into the motor. Well, they can't build boost if you don't have air coming in.
You don't have air. Okay.
Yeah.
Especially with this turbo.
Right. It's a turbo diesel. And
how much power does a regular 3500 Duramax, would it have? And then if you add the turbo, how much does it add to it?
Well, they don't build a non-turbo Duramax.
Okay,
you know,
all right.
Because all of them are turboed. But if you took the turbo off of it, you cut it less than half. I mean,
really?
it's
turbo makes that much difference?
Oh, yes,
in
huge.
Horsepower?
Huge. I mean, this the 2018 Duramax it makes somewhere in the neighborhood of 900 and some odd foot-pounds of torque.
Ooh,
you
know? Man.
You know, it's rated somewhere around 400 horsepower.
Okay.
Which the horsepower is not the real number that's telling you anything on it.
Well, it's the torque is where it's...
The torque is what moves the world, okay?
Powers that, yeah.
And, you know, this thing makes incredible torque. And, you know, it's all done through the turbo. Yeah, and it's doing it at low RPM. It's not turning a bunch of RPMs.
Well, for the benefit of the people listening, does a turbo cost you more fuel? I mean, will your fuel consumption go up because you have a turbo versus not having a turbo?
Not really, because basically what you're doing, you would not have the same power, you know, without the power to move the trailer, your load, whatever. Without that turbo, so you would have to work the motor so much more, mm-hmm. you know, without a turbo, that it's really wouldn't help you on fuel economy. You know, if you had, you know, nothing but the truck cruising around about 50 mile an hour, do you really need the turbo? No.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
But guess what? It's a variable displacement turbo that actually, not displacement, variable nozzle on the turbo. That it doesn't have to make a bunch of boost when it doesn't need it. So it's not just sitting there, you know, forcing air in the
so
whole time.
So actually the turbo could help give you better mileage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely helps.
Because it would keep the vehicle and the motor and all from being in a strain all the time.
Yep, yep.
Because you'd have enough torque with the power of the turbo
right.
to override that.
Well, and it's just like, you know, my wife drives a 2018 Equinox. And it's got a little 1.5 turboed four-cylinder in it. Turboed four-cylinder. And it's a little bit cute turbo, little bit thing. But it makes, you know, car gets around great. You know, it good power. But
makes it think it's a six-cylinder.
Yeah. Well, you know, and these things, it's really impressing me on fuel mileage.
1.4.
Yeah. We had this 1.5. But 1.5. She followed me to Navarre a couple weekends ago, and I'm running 77, 78 mile an hour on the interstate.
Be careful.
Whatever man. You can and get away with.
Those bears are in the air in Florida.
That's right. I'm not in Florida anymore. They can't do nothing to me.
They didn't catch me while I was there.
That's
so.
Right. They let me out. Yeah. So, she followed me step for step the whole way, and she averaged right at 40 miles a gallon.
Whoa.
So... You know, it's hard to argue with that. And she gets right around 30 miles a gallon around town.
And she kept up with it.
Unbelievable.
30, 34, 35.
And it's spunky? Yeah. I mean, it's got enough.
Plenty of power.
Got plenty of power.
Plenty of power. It's not a race car, but it's,
I
mean.
Oh, I understand, yeah. But
it runs in and out of traffic,
30,
no problem.
40 mile an hour on the road is awesome.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean,
Kevin, let me ask you a related question to this, because mm-hmm. in this new Nissan that we got, or it's 1 year old now, there's a sports mode that you can push, and the performance noticeably changes as far as acceleration and that sort of thing. Is that what's happening when you go from a normal drive mode to economy mode to sports mode or whatever these different modes are?
And it really depends on the vehicle. I don't know if yours is a turboed motor or not in that one, but
I don't either.
If it is, it would probably change the boost a little bit. It's definitely going to change the shift points in the transmission. And
you
some
can
of the
really tell the difference.
Yeah, and some of the handling characteristics
yeah, well,
of the vehicle.
That was what I was going to say. Some of the vehicles have a lot of handling characteristics that come into effect when you change it to that.
Right, right. And that's, you know... That's what it's all about, you know. They go in, they change the suspension setups and that. Even our the Corvettes, Camaros, and that have different modes that you can put it in. Most of those are not none of them are turboed. Well, some of the Camaros are, but some of them do have superchargers on them. But it's not all about changing the boost and the power. It's changing shift points. It's changing the handling characteristics of the vehicle. So.
Okay.
Releases a little more of the power, a little more of, what makes it feel like it's doing more.
Right,
yeah.
But it really doesn't add any more horsepower unless it's got a turbo.
Right. If it's turboed or supercharged, it can control a little more and add a little more power, which it can some anyway. because we do have variable cam timing and that kind of stuff on most all of our cars now. So it can actually, and some of them even have a variable lift for the camshaft.
Yeah. Okay. So it, in essence, on some vehicles, it could actually change the lift of the cam, and it could change the timing spectrum that it runs through.
Right. And most everything we have now has a variable cam timing set up on it that will allow you to make a little more power.
Used to, we had to change the cams out and tear the motor down to jam it. Now they do it in electronic.
Exactly. But sound like we come up to the first end of our first segment here. I'm going to let you hear from our sponsors. We'll be back.
Roll on highway. Roll on along. Roll on, daddy, till you get back home. Roll on, family. Roll on, crew. Roll on, mama, like I ask you to do. And roll on, 18-wheeler. Roll on.
Roll on!
Well, it's Monday morning. He's kissing mama goodbye. He's up and gone with the sun. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler, and he's off on a Midwest run. And three sad faces gather round Mama. They ask her when Daddy's coming home. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler, and they sure miss him when he's gone. Yeah, they do.
If you're looking for piping,
I am the car doctor.
If you're looking for piping, two locally owned and operated companies have all the answers: Alabama Pipe and Supply and Universal Precast. APS provides construction, landscaping, civil engineering, and sewer system piping, and they pride themselves on providing prompt service and on-time delivery. Their customer service is second to none. APS also specializes in erosion control, soil and water separation, and slope and channeling control products in a variety of materials designed to fit your specific applications. Universal Precast specializes in storm boxes and industrial storm drains and covers. No job is too large or too small. Call David Jones and the professionals at Alabama Pipe and Supply and Universal Precast for all your piping needs. Located at 5721 Highway 90 West, Mobile. Call 653-1399. That's 653-1399. Alabama Pipe and Supply and Universal Precast.
Hi, I am the car doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, here to talk to you about my friends at SMR Automotive. The owner of SMR Automotive, Jimmy Romanoskis, has been a personal friend of mine for over 35 years. Jimmy has been serving the Gulf Coast for close to 20 years from 623 Holcomb Avenue in Midtown Mobile. SMR Automotive is a full-service repair facility that specializes in late-model electrical and drivability diagnosis. He has the latest equipment and information to correctly diagnose your car the first time. So if you're having problems with your vehicle or just need scheduled maintenance, please call Jimmy at 251-476-6977 or drop by and see him at 623 Holcomb Avenue in Midtown Mobile. That's SMR Automotive, 251-476-6977, and tell them the car doctor sent you.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But one of our sponsors here, Atmore Dragway, we're always trying to let you know what they got coming up next weekend. Friday the 31st, they have a gambler's race, open test and tune. They have event overnight parking if you have a motorhome. On Saturday the 1st, they have Smoke and Thunder jet-powered dragsters, SNRA Noxious Pro Mods.
Ooh, I wonder how fast they'll run.
I don't know, but they make a lot of noise. They shoot out.
I saw them running at a track one time, and they had backed up against the building, and then they fired those jets up, and it melted the sides of the building.
Yeah, yeah. I was watching one here not long ago, and it actually started blowing the asphalt up.
I can imagine.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you.
If anything's loose, it's going to pick it up.
It's going to pick it up and blow it out. It'll clean the track for you, I guarantee you.
I imagine.
But
yeah.
They've got, looks like we got a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yeah.
What can I do for you?
I got a 2004 F-250 with a dreaded 6.0 power stroke diesel.
Ooh, okay.
Started leaking water
mm-hmm.
on the radiator. Not no outside leak. Just getting worse and worse, and now I'm losing about 2 gallons every 10 miles. Looks like it's coming out the exhaust pipe.
Yeah, and it could be a head gasket, but the first thing to check would be the EGR cooler.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I got it narrowed down to.
Yeah.
All the mechanics, they want to change out the head bolts and gaskets.
It's
$6,000 to do a big truck that's worth $2,000.
Right. You know, and that's the problem with them. You know, the bottom end of those motors are pretty tough. You know, they make good power. But they've got some inherent problems that are just issues. Yeah, they call it bulletproofing them, but there's no such thing. Yeah, you can do the head gaskets and the upgraded head bolts and all that, and put the EGR bypass on it, which I don't necessarily recommend. You can do it, but to me, it takes a little away from them. And
as long as it's got water in it, it runs perfect.
Right.
So it's like it's not leaking through the head.
Right. Well, and it's still putting it in the combustion chamber when it's going through the EGR. And sometimes it'll dump it straight in the exhaust. Just depends on exactly where it's leaking. But it's they make a better EGR cooler for them. The aftermarket has a better EGR cooler that will last longer. I still see them fail from time to time, but
still,
it is a better option.
Is there a way to bypass that cooler?
They do make a bypass for it. It's basically a pipe that goes in and bypasses it.
Does that hurt anything?
Well, you have to program it when you do that to eliminate the EGR operation on it. And to do that, they have to change some things
just in programming?
Yeah, you know, and it's not really.
That?
I've kind of gotten away from the Ford stuff, you know, as far as programming, but there's a couple of places in town, and I can't think of them right off the top of my head.
Jimmy, is that something Jimmy can do?
No, you got to have the programming capability for it, you know, aftermarket programming.
The bypass, you still have to take the whole top of the engine, turbos.
You got to tear it down just exactly where you are on the EGR cooler, but you know, we don't put the cooler back in it when you go. It's got a bypass for it, so.
How much does that offhand? How much does that cooler cost? Or either one of y'all know?
The cooler I'm seeing on eBay for like $250, anywhere from $250 to $400.
Now right. that's an aftermarket one that's been updated.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and that's really not the part is not the big deal. I mean, you know, $400 is not cheap. Don't get me wrong, but you know, it's the labor to get to it. You know, because it is kind of a pain to get there. Yeah. You know, I'm sure there's people out there that'll do it a little cheaper, but it's not a cheap fix by any means. And unfortunately, you almost have to go in and put that in and take a, you know, roll of the dice to make sure that's all it is, because you can't, you know, the way you check a head gasket is you pressure check it, but the rest of the system has to be sealed up before you can pressure check it enough to see if the head gasket's leak. And with a blown EGR cooler, you'll never get there. Yeah, so.
So you could put it all back together and then have to tear it back down again.
And still have a head gasket
that
problem.
Sucks.
Yeah,
that's why people, they try and sell you all of it up front.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead and pull the heads off, do the head studs.
You mean they don't put zippers on them?
No, unfortunately they don't. They don't. And I've been there. They're no fun to do. They're no fun to do by that by any means.
But I appreciate the information.
All right, bud. I appreciate you calling in. You know, and that's the 6.4 had a very similar problem. They hadn't had problem with the EGR coolers as well. They were a little better on the head gasket part, but they still had some issues as well. At 6.0 was really, it's a great running motor. They made good power.
But the phase of it that he's got this messed up is that the big problem child of that motor?
That and the head gasket problem.
Okay.
You know, and the head gaskets really don't show their heads until you start programming them and boosting more.
Okay.
And you'll actually lift the head off the block.
Oh, my Lord.
Those things are capable of some really high numbers on the turbo boost.
So if you stay away from hot rodding it and let it run like it was designed at the factory, you have a lot less problems with it.
You have a lot less trouble with them. You know, our friend Matt had one, and one of his good friends was a tuner, actually owned part of Super Chips, and he put his program for his own personal 6.0 Ford into Matt's 6.0 Ford, even after it had the updated EGR, the head studs and the head gaskets and all that done to it. And if he had it on the max power setting and really was getting after it, it would still blow some coolant out of it because it would still lift the cylinder heads off. That's building a bunch of pressure.
Yeah, it is. Unbelievable. Well, a diesel's got, 22, 24 to 1 now?
They were somewhere right around 20 to 1.
20?
And you start poking about 40 or 45 pounds of boost to it, which is a bunch of boost. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't designed for that, so.
No. You keep them in the area where they were designed to run, and fix the problems that they had.
Right.
And they're a fairly decent motor. But the problem is they're just not cheap to work on.
I understand. But, hey, you know, they run 300,000, 400,000 miles.
Yeah.
I've seen them go over 500,000.
Yep. Seen it happen. But not on the same EGR cooler.
Oh.
Never seen one of those go that far.
Okay. All right.
But,
y'all want to take a minute now and talk about podcasting?
Sure. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to mention, we got the word today that this show and Scuttlebutt Network and all the local shows are being put up on our website. All you have to do is go to fmtalk1065.com. And at the top of the page, you'll see a bunch of things, and just click podcast, and you can scroll down to it until you find the show you want to hear. So look for the Car Doctor. We'll get it put up right after the show tonight.
Now, is that for a live show, or is that a delayed show?
No, what it is, it's a recording of the show that we're doing right now.
Okay.
So if a listener missed part of Kevin's answer or your answer to one of the questions, you know, they can bring up the podcast and listen to the whole program again, or if they called in and just want to hear what they sound like on the radio.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Now, what if we move on 2 or 3 weeks and then somebody would want to come back and listen to this show that we've done tonight? Is that possible or not?
What we do is we'll put in the Car Doctor show and we'll put in 8/27/2018.
Okay. So you go back to the date.
Yeah, and then next week it'll be the next date. But the other show won't go away.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just have to scroll down a bit further.
So
it's pretty cool, actually.
If some miracle happens and we have this really wonderful show that you just got to go back and listen to time and time again, you know, then you can go back and do that.
There you go.
Yeah. I wouldn't hold my breath or anything.
No.
But let me tell you what's so amazing about this. I was looking at a log of people in different countries. And, I mean, there was one download from Pakistan.
Really?
You know, from all over the world, people are looking around for podcasts.
Right.
So, you know, there may be somebody hearing you right now in New Zealand or China or who knows where, the South Pole.
As long as they don't expect me to do this show in anything but English, I'm good.
I don't care who listens. I even have trouble with that.
Because I have a really hard time with English.
It's an issue sometimes, too.
You know, I don't do other languages as well as I do this one, and
I'm pretty good at Amerikan, too. American, Amerikan.
Amerikan.
I'm good at that language.
Yeah, you know, hey, it's all good.
We got to take a break again.
Our Southern.
We're coming up to a break again.
Flying, y'all.
All right, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors. We'll be back.
Let me tell the story, I can tell it all, about the mountain lawyer and illegal alcohol.
his daddy made the whiskey. Son, he drove low. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town. The revenueers chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they had him, his engine would explode. He'd go by like they were standing still on Thunder Road.
Thunder, thunder, over Thunder Road. Thunder was his engine, and white lightning was his load.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect isolated evening thunderstorms tonight. Low temperatures will be in the mid-70s at daybreak. For Tuesday, scattered afternoon thunderstorms with highs in the lower 90s. And the outlook for Wednesday, scattered afternoon thunderstorms again with highs in the upper 80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
For FM Talk 106.5, I'm Roseanne Haven, News 5. A plane crashed into the Santa Rosa Sound today. Officials say the 54-year-old pilot of a small two-seat seaplane died on his first solo flight. A witness says the aircraft went down nose first and into the sound about a mile east of Portofino. We now know the identity of a man killed in a crash on Interstate 10 westbound in Baldwin County today. Rodney Lewis Plemons of Loxley. The accident involved multiple vehicles, including two 18-wheelers. The interstate shut down for most of the day, sending motorists scrambling to find alternate routes. A bulldozer came in to help clear the wreckage. The Catholic Diocese has removed a priest from his position in Pensacola. The diocese says it's investigating an accusation against Monsignor James Flaherty. The diocese would not say what the allegation is. For FM Talk 106.5, I'm Roseanne Haven, News 5.
If you're looking for piping, two locally owned and operated companies have all the answers. Alabama Pipe and Supply and Universal Precast. APS provides construction, landscaping, civil engineering, and sewer system piping. And they pride themselves on providing prompt service and on-time delivery. Their customer service is second to none. APS also specializes in erosion control, soil and water separation, and slope and channeling control products in a variety of materials designed to fit your specific applications. Universal Precast specializes in storm boxes and industrial storm drains and covers. No job is too large or too small. Call David Jones and the professionals at Alabama Pipe and Supply and Universal Precast for all your piping needs. Located at 5721 Highway 90 West, Mobile. Call 653-1399. That's 653-1399. Alabama Pipe and Supply and Universal Precast.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state. Did you know that life insurance rates are near record lows? If you own life insurance or are thinking of buying any, why spend more than you have to? Since 1986, AccuQuote has helped literally millions of people just like you save a fortune on their life insurance. Here's how they do it. They monitor the products offered by dozens of the most well-respected brand-name life insurance companies you trust so that you get the lowest rates. For example, a healthy 40-year-old can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $20 a month. 20 and 30-year rates are also available. And don't forget to ask them about the new term life plans that guarantee your money back even if you outlive your policy. Take 5 minutes and call AccuQuote for your free quote. Call 1-800-318-1787. Find out how much you can save on your life insurance. Call AccuQuote today at 1-800-318-1787. That's 1-800-318-1787.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text at 343-0106. We've been sitting there running our mouths and not paying attention to the text board here. We got a few to talk about. Let's see. I have installed a new radio, and the rear speakers are low volume. Any thoughts? It's a Silverado with no amp. First off, I would have to ask what kind of radio was it? One from another Silverado that was just put in? If it's not programmed properly, to know that it doesn't have the amp, then it's going to have a low volume problem. And that's probably more along the lines of what it is. You know, if it's an aftermarket radio, I don't know. That'd be a little hard to say on that. You know, of course, the rear speakers could be bad if you haven't replaced the speakers themselves. You know, because a lot of times what you'll get is the bass part will go out and all you get is the treble, and it'll be a real problem there. But, you know, we program replacement radios all the time, you know, that they've got a used radio from something else to put in a vehicle. Everything will look the same, but it came out of a vehicle that had an amp or had another type system in it, and it doesn't know what to do with it. So,
I had no idea that you had to program the radio for the vehicle.
Yeah, and that's something that's come over the last, I don't know, it's been going on a while now, probably 10 or 12 years.
Okay.
But they're, you know, what they do is they try to eliminate having to have a different radio for every system. So if they're able to program the radio for having amps or it being in a Suburban or a Tahoe that has a different number of speakers.
Like a equipment module, you know.
Right.
An engine module.
Right.
One module will fit 25 different trucks, so you've got to program it to that VIN number.
Yep.
To make it work.
Is there anything in the new vehicles that are not programmed? I
think
the door locks are programmed.
It's short between the steering wheel and the seat.
Well, yeah, now that ain't much.
There's very
not
little.
Not in my yeah. truck.
You're too funny, Tom.
Yeah, there's very little anymore that they don't program. It's getting more and more prevalent.
Just don't want you doing any work on your own vehicle.
Well, you know.
I think it's a plot.
They're trying to hit a happy medium, because even the more base vehicles that don't have all the toys, people expect it to have Bluetooth capability
and
stability systems and, you know, have navigation capability systems through their OnStar or, you know, that there's just so many things that they're expecting as a base entry-level car that they have to do this and try and keep it affordable. So, you know, instead of having to build, just say for the radio, having to build four different radios for one car, they'll build one or two radios, and it can adapt to whatever other accessories are put in the vehicle. You know,
unbelievable.
Believe it or not, they're trying to control costs to where the price of the cars are not just completely outrageous.
The cost that they're controlling is on their side of the fence,
right?
Not on our side of the fence.
Well, okay. Well, if they don't control their side, who do you think is going to pay the bill?
I don't know. They can put it in that $8,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 they're going to give me off discount, and you know. All the time when they get close to the end of the season. And
watch it, Kevin. He's trying to pin you down. You're sitting on both sides of the fence.
Well, you know, and you know, a lot of people think that there's a lot of people think there's that kind of markup in these vehicles, and there's not.
Well,
and,
you know what? The manufacturers are doing it. They're the one that's messing our minds up.
Yeah.
I mean, if all these outfits, and it's not just General Motors, it's everybody that's got damn cars for sale. Excuse my French, okay?
Yep.
And they all get down and they're going to give you, on a small car, $20,000 car, they're going to give you $5,000 off. And then you got the other stuff, it's 8 to 10 or 12 to 13, and you get in the truck, some of them up to $13,000, $15,000. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they take that money off to start with?
Yeah. Well, hey, they got to make a profit too, you know.
Well, yeah, that just tells me, that makes me think and makes the public think that there's that much profit built into these things.
Right.
I'll tell you something they haven't put on the vehicles, and maybe they should, and that is if your car is moving, and they can do it with a little simple transmitter, have it where you cannot, your cell phone will not function while you're moving.
Because
we see wrecks and fatalities all the time, and people are on their cell phones.
They definitely can, and you know, most people driving a later model vehicle they have the capability of Bluetooth and hands-free operation of their phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, even our your text messages, it will – I have an option to read my text message or actually have it read the text message to me. I just push a button and it reads the text message to me.
Really?
I can't reply to it that way.
Yeah.
But – you know, it's
so if Tom sends you a text, do you hear it in a female voice?
No, it's actually
hi.
Yeah.
Well, depending on how you have it programmed.
It's the same voice for everybody and it's not necessarily not necessarily a female voice. So.
Yeah, okay. Tom quit.
Yeah.
But, oh, that's so dang cool though.
Oh yeah.
But you know, without getting into a lot of detail, I had a family member in Pensacola.
You
he
have
was
family?
A nephew, and he died in a car wreck when his vehicle hit a tree. High school boy had his cell phone in his hand.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. It happens way too often. It really does.
I hear. What could be so important that it can't wait 5 minutes till you get where you're going?
It's hard, and I do it. I catch myself doing it.
Oh,
I'm driving down the road, and I hear my phone beep. I got to look to see what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but luckily with the vehicle I'm driving, all I have to do is touch a button that I don't have to look for. I know exactly where it is, and I hit the button, and it tells me what the text message is. And,
you know,
and then I can decide whether I need to pull over and go call somebody or whatever. Yeah.
And see, you raised something else. I don't like the touch screens. Because it's not like you can reach for a knob or a push button without even looking. But if it's a touch screen, you pretty well got to look.
Right, right.
But, you know, we just had an accident this morning in Baldwin County.
Yep.
Two trucks run into each other. And this one guy that was a witness said on the TV a while ago, he says, I saw this truck slowing down, and I started slowing down, and this other truck came by me. And he did not touch his brakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't looking in front of him. Something happened. Either it was physical or medical, or he was looking at his damn telephone.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Well, and I was talking to somebody today about, you know, he just recently got out of the business of driving trucks and retired. And the company he worked for had got to the point to where not only did they have cameras facing out of the truck, they have cameras looking at the driver. So they're recording you and the road you're on.
Yeah.
So,
You know what? With the power that they have now, with the GPS units that are on there, when they know exactly where these vehicles are, they are probably able to be sitting back in that dispatch office.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're controlling the dispatch of these units all over the United States and be able to watch this driver.
Yeah.
And whatever he's doing.
They know exactly what's going on. They really do. And I think it's a good thing.
We're going to have to.
Yep.
They're going to have to. Because, you know, the wife and I were talking about it, and she mentioned it a while ago when they were talking about those two trucks wrecking. When we're on the road and traveling, and I'm running 70, 75.
Careful.
Hey, maybe 80, 85. But anyway, it don't make a difference what you run. A truck is going to pass you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go on out of sight, man. You know that sucker's got to be running 90 miles an hour
or more.
You know? But now in the old days, and you mentioned it earlier tonight, we were talking about diesels, was the fact that a diesel is going to smoke.
Yeah.
Well, they've got the new diesel fuels, and they've got the new trucks and all that. If you're following a truck, you can't really see how bad he's into the acceleration of that vehicle because you can't tell how much smoke is coming back. Now, in the olden days, if he was pouring the coal out of it,
you could tell from a half mile away.
Right, you knew he was in it, buddy. He had his foot buried into the floorboards.
Saw that black smoke.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, we go back to the 60s and 70s when I was running the truck line. Our trucks were set up on a dyno, and the pumps were set up on there to control the amount of fuel going through it that the truck would only run 65 miles an hour.
Right,
and it had no coloration of the fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see one of our trucks somewhere running with smoke, somebody had messed with the pump.
Right.
And that was a firing situation.
Yeah, you were done at that point.
You were done. I had to got out and got out on the road sometime and chase drivers. And when they pulled over to stop at a truck stop, I'd pick and pull the hood and look, and if he'd mess with the pump, I'd fire him right there.
Is that what they call putting a governor on it?
Well, yep, exactly.
They were disconnecting the governor.
Yeah.
But we still have several text messages here, and we're going to get to them before the end of the show. We're coming close to an end. But one is asking, of all the filters that are out there, is there any one good filter for synthetics? It really doesn't matter. A good quality filter will work fine with a synthetic or regular oil. Not necessarily one specific one for synthetic oil. We also have, let's see, my CVT Honda, which is variable transmission, sorry. Honda, it gets really peppy when I shift the transmission to sport. And that's basically what it's doing is it's changing not necessarily the shift points, but RPM range to where it's putting it in the different power range.
Okay.
Bringing it in the power band.
That makes it sporty.
Makes it a little sportier. So
okay.
We're going to get some more of those after we take a break here and let you hear from our sponsors.
A little place called Hamburger Dan. I stuck me a quarter in the jukebox. I played the song The Truck Driving Man. And the waitress, she brought me some coffee. I thanked her and I called her back again. I said, that old song sure does fit me. Cause darling, I'm a truck driving man. Pour me another cup of coffee. Cause it is the best in the land. And put another quarter in the jukebox. And play the song The Truck Driving Man.
Oh, now, Johnny.
Hi, I am the car doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, here to talk to you about my friends at SMR Automotive. The owner of SMR Automotive, Jimmy Romanoskis, has been a personal friend of mine for over 35 years. Jimmy has been serving the Gulf Coast for close to 20 years from 623 Holcomb Avenue in Midtown Mobile. SMR Automotive is a full-service repair facility that specializes in late-model electrical and drivability diagnosis. He has the latest equipment and information to correctly diagnose your car the first time. So if you're having problems with your vehicle or just need scheduled maintenance, please call Jimmy at 251-476-6977 or drop by and see him at 623 Holcomb Avenue in Midtown Mobile. That's SMR Automotive, 251-476-6977, and tell them the car doctor sent you.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep, and you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-266-1432. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-266-1432. That's 1-800-266-1432. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-266-1432.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Remco, along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But let's see, we got Rapid Ray asking a question here. How accurate is the miles per gallon figures on the new car screen? They're not perfect, but they're pretty accurate. And it really, the longer you let them run, the closer they are, you know, so... like my truck has capability of being for the last 25 miles or the last 50 miles, last 100, and I think then it goes to the last 500 miles. So if you really want an accurate number, over what you're using overall. Put it on the longest setting, and it'll give you fairly close to what you're doing. But if you want to know what you're doing on this trip or whatever, you can watch it for the last 25 or 50 miles, and it gives you a fairly close
number. I think it does. Mine does, because I like to experiment with that sometimes, running like 65.
Right.
And run it for, say, 20 miles and see what mm-hmm. kind of mileage I get, and then I'll reset it, and then I'll kick my speed up to, say, 70 and run and kind of see what the variance is there.
And if you really want to cut it down, go up to about 90.
No, I don't like
the wind
like
resistance there becomes an issue.
Well, and it's just like with our Equinox. I've noticed that if you keep it just under 80, that's where the mileage is the best. You go over that 80 mark, and it starts losing quick.
Isn't there a sweet point usually?
There really is. There really is. Everything's working perfect and in harmony and everything, and it's doing its best that point.
That means that it's meeting the criteria that was established for that vehicle with that size tire, that mm-hmm. gear ratio, and that RPM of the motor, and that many revolutions of the drive shaft, et cetera.
Right.
All of those variables come in together, and that's where they're trying to reach it so that they can get that mileage.
And driving on flat ground, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
Driving the mountains is
don't check your mileage from here to Montgomery. And mm-hmm. and from Montgomery back to Mobile, and you could run the same identical miles mm-hmm. per hour. There'll be a difference.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. you're coming from Montgomery. You're coming back downhill most of the time.
Yeah. It took me a while to understand that.
That does work. Yeah, it does work. But let's see. We got Ray's daughter has a question here. Does Isuzu still make?
I think she's getting smarter than Ray.
Yeah, I think he's been getting his questions from her anyway.
Yeah,
and I think that's what's going on.
But, she's probably a smart child.
She decided to start doing it herself.
Awesome lady, proud of her. Yeah.
Does Isuzu still make diesel engines for Chevrolet trucks? Actually, they do. The Duramax. Well, and I say they make them, but they were in on the design for them. It was an Isuzu designed motor for the Duramax, and I got to say they did an awesome job. It's that motor has been as trouble free as I have ever seen a diesel motor be in a in that size truck.
Heard a lot of people brag on those motors. Yeah,
it's
but the Isuzu was in bulletproof too now.
Well, yeah, Isuzu's been doing diesel forever. Yeah, they're still working in conjunction with Isuzu on that Duramax motor. They've done some upgrades on it, like I said, last year, and it's been awesome. I mean, it's a good fuel economy, great power. I think it's market leading in the torque range.
Well, having 10 million of them out on the highway, mm-hmm. and them looking at them as they come in to the shops and all, I mean, they pick up all the good stuff and the bad stuff, and next year they make it better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, it's we're a truck shop. We sell a bunch of trucks, and we sell our fair share of diesels. I've been there going on 3.5 years or so now. I've seen 2 or 3 Duramax motors changed in our shop in that time period.
Really?
All of them were,
probably negligent.
400+ thousand miles on them.
Over
and,
four.
And was not maintained properly.
Oh, my goodness.
It was one of them was absolutely cooked because it sprung a water leak and they didn't stop.
They just
burnt that one
fried
up.
Fried it.
The other two were just high mileage, not well maintained, and just.
They still run that kind of mileage.
They still got to that kind of mileage before they finally gave up. But awesome motor. I can't say enough good stuff about them. I really can't. But let's see. We have another one. In 2003, Avalanche goes into reduced power mode. Almost every morning, I have to pull over, turn off, wait for a reset. It's got 200,000+ miles on it. There are several things that can be going on. More than likely, it's going to be with the throttle control system. What you get is it has on that 03, I believe, has a throttle control module mounted up on the firewall. You got wires coming from your electronic throttle body to that and also going to the gas pedal, and all this has to work with the ECM as well. Something is losing connection. Either you have a bad throttle body, which is a very good possibility, or a bad connection, more than likely at the throttle body or the throttle control module. We've had a bunch of them that we've had to restring wires to and redo that, or just repair connections at those two modules. Or the gas pedal itself could be bad. Just really have to decide which code it's setting, because if it's going to reduce power mode, it's going to leave a code.
Okay, that's where I was going. I'm mm-hmm. going to ask you then, with the problem that they're having with that particular vehicle, will it show some kind of code to give you some kind of idea of the area to go to?
Yeah, because and what you've got is you've got each module, each component, the throttle pedal and the throttle body, will have two sensors in them, and it's a redundant system. It will set the code as for the APP, which is accelerator pedal position sensor. One or two is not reading right, or they don't agree with each other, or not sending the signal high, low, whatever. Same thing with the throttle body. And on a truck that old, it may just be a dirty throttle body because it's not getting enough air in by it, and it says, I need more air, and I'm.
Will it show code?
It should have this.
What kind of code would it show?
Well, it'll actually show a throttle position code because it knows it's open so far. Yeah, well, what it does is it knows it's supposed to be open so far, and it's not enough to make the motor run. So they think that there's something wrong with the throttle body, which, if you clean that one at that point, more than likely you're going to have to go back and do some programming to get it to idle back down once you get it clean.
Oh, okay.
Because it'll be running 2,500 RPMs once you get it clean again. So
he might not have a real problem.
Yeah, it is a real problem, but it's something that's correctable and it may not be a major problem.
Okay.
So, it's definitely worth looking into and seeing what's going on. But it's really based on what code you got. So let's see. Your cell phone, the Rapid Ray again here. Your cell phone can be set up not to work while your car is moving.
Say what?
Yeah, yes and no. Yes and no. Your car doesn't really block it out, but it can not answer, the phone.
And then is that all phones? Or is that just an Apple?
I'd have
phone
to see. I know,
or Android?
I know Ray
drives an Android,
a Honda.
Yeah.
It's I don't know about that. I don't know about that. That's very possible, and that's a good feature if it can.
Rapid's going to have to send us another text next week to tell us how to do that.
And not next week, because we'll be taking a week off. We'll be Labor Day in it.
And anybody that's ever operated a CB kicker with about a 1,000-watt radio in your car, you can block a cell phone.
Oh, really?
And anyone close to you.
Yeah, with those kickers.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But sounds like we come to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. And we will be taking off next week for Labor Day, but we'll be back the week after that.